So let's go to James chapter 1. It's interesting when they were canonizing the Bible, and I guess you guys all know what canonizing means, when they're deciding what books would become scripture and what books were just not scripture. A lot of scholars did not want to include the book of James, but I'm actually glad it's there because it's great learning for us. James chapter 1, verse 1, it says here, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Salutations, you know, blah, 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 whatever. But it says he's a servant of God. You see, read the apostle, all the Paul's letters. In the first verse, or the first three verses, it says Paul, an apostle. It doesn't say James, an apostle. It doesn't say he's an apostle here. He was a servant. So, he did get born again somewhere along the line, because there are some nice verses in here. But 2:14 is the verse that says, you know, faith without works is dead. But if you read in Ephesians, we're saved by grace, not of works, but we're created so that we can do good works. We should do good works, but it's the good works aren't what it doesn't say our faith is dead if we have no good works. And let's go to Galatians chapter 3.
Well, also, if you keep reading 14, James 2:14. He asked the question,
can faith save him?
What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? Well, what's
faith saved us. We're saved by faith, yes. So, see, they began the question in Galatians chapter 3. And I have a... I need to tell you right now, I forgot to mention this earlier, this teaching is based on a really good book that we were made aware of about 5 or 10 years ago called The Two Ways of the First Century by David Anderson.
The Two Ways of the First Century Church, okay.
Yeah, I have a link to it on my website. You can find it on the internet. You can buy the book, but you can just read it right on the internet.
It's a really good work,
really good read. I read it through like 3 times. It was so good, and I still go back and read some of the chapters. Now, I was going to Galatians chapter 3, and I never read the verse here. Chapter 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. See, we're not justified by the works of the law. There was a time when God made that. We call it the Old Testament. Another word for it is the Old Covenant. God made a covenant with his people, Israel, and the best he could do for them at that time, because there was no Savior, was to put them under a law, and they would follow the law, and they could be justified by the law. And even then, really the only man that ever completely walked the law perfectly was Jesus Christ. And so even then they had to have forgiveness, and God had to have grace. But with Christ, we don't have to do the Day of Atonement. We don't have to all this stuff, you know. And God doesn't care how much skin is on your genitals and all that sort of thing, circumcision, and it's that stuff's all gone. Romans chapter 3, I just got a couple more verses here. Chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. There's nothing we can do that makes us good enough to be saved. We can't do it. Our flesh is, because we have sin nature in us, we just can't be good enough. It has to be grace. I love the thing, I've said it many times before, but he said, John McChesney said the quote, it's like we won the lottery and didn't buy a ticket. I keep saying that, but I love that quote. But verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is made manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, upon all, unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all imperfect. To whom God hath, oh, I'm sorry, I skipped the verse, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation, that's just one of those big old-fashioned words, which means payment in full. Christ was the full payment. So if Christ was the full payment and we go out and do the law, then we're spitting in Christ's face, saying, well, I know you died and you suffered on the cross for me, but I still have to earn something, don't I? Nope. It's free.
So one place where free really means free.
Yes. Through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. And remission means completely wiped away, 100%, every single one of them. Verse 27, where is boasting then? But wait a minute, I spoke in tongues for 2 hours today, and then I read the word for another 2 hours, and then I went out witnessing for 2 hours, and then I went through and I did this sacrifice, and I shaved my head, and I went in the closet and prayed, and I fasted, and I did, you know, well, it's great if you want to do something for God, but it doesn't add to your salvation. It's already, you had it before you started. In a minute, I'm going to show you where the legalists always 100% all the time, never failing, always 100% all the time. Am I emphasizing that enough? Always require you to earn what God's already freely given you. So it's free, but we gotta earn. No, it's free, but you gotta earn. No, it's free, but we gotta earn. And see, these people that say you gotta earn it, they're the ones that wanted to kill Paul because they wanted him to shut up, quit telling people it was free. And see, they want to put you under their thumb. And they want to beat you, want you to be out there doing stuff. And you read in the Gospels, the Pharisees, they had the keys to the kingdom. They didn't enter in, and they hindered people from entering in. And they were the same people that were this group that wanted to kill Paul. And said, oh, we're going to do it real religious. We're going to go in and pray about it. We're going to make an oath. And then going to God to consecrate your murder doesn't make it holy. It still says, Ten Commandments is still the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not murder. One of them. And they're violating their own law and trying to make it holy. It don't work that way. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Well, it's like water baptism. With the coming of the greater, baptized by Holy Spirit, the lesser is no longer needed. With the coming of grace, saved by grace, being saved by the works of the law is no longer needed. And God no longer even honors that. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 11.
So being dunked in front of the church is just...
You said 24.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry, 324. You're right. I'm sorry. I did 311 earlier. 324, you're right.
But God doesn't.
It says here, this actually fits into the whole thing, what we're discussing. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. I guess I could read 25 as well. But then after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Acts chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men came, which came down from Judea, taught the brethren. Okay, they're brethren. That, what does that tell us? They're already born again. They taught, so these guys came from Judea. Who was running the church at Judea? James. So these guys, James sent people out to the born again Gentile believers who became born again and said, except you're circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved.
And they didn't have bathrooms like we have. They would go and they would urinate on the wall. And the men would all stand there, they'd pull their robe back and they'd urinate. And what happened is James would send people out there and he'd be spying.
Seriously? I never heard that.
Yeah, it says here, it says in there, I forget what verse it said. They would spy out and they would, and then say, okay, you know, you can't be saved if you got that skin there. I mean, that's how low they went. This is how low.
And then it was just, that was just the first step. And then they say, well, you know, then you have to do this, and then you have to do this, and then really what it is they wanted them to earn what God had already freely given them.
That puts them back under
the law.
Not only just the law, but under, now they have them under their control.
Yes. I was thinking
the
about that earlier.
The whole thing is power.
Power and control.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, that, you know, then you read through the rest of chapter 15, quite a few verses here. I'm not going to read all of these. Paul and Barnabas had no small argument with them. They got really angry. There was, no, that's not true. That's, yeah, I imagine they probably said, you know, what I would have said, I don't know if Paul said it, I would have said, that's doctrines of devils. Because I've done that with discussions on the internet, and I sort of have a reputation in the Christian community of saying things bluntly and boldly, unambiguously. And like there's been several things that have come up on the internet and other things, and there was some minister that was trying to convince me of his doctrine on Jesus, and he was using the songs we used to sing and the sing along the way to prove his point. And I said that has got to be the weakest argument I've ever heard to push your new doctrine on Jesus. To use, you do know those songs were not written by the way, they're written by Trinitarians. And but anyway, so let's go to verse 13. So they're having this big meeting. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but they get together and are having a big meeting. And James is talking, Peter recounts how, you know, he's the first one that reached out to the Gentiles. Paul talked about all the great things that have happened in his ministry. And so what James gets up, verse 13, and after they held their peace, James answered, saying, and the traditional take on this is like James was the peacemaker between the two sides of the warring factions in the church and made peace in the church, and he's this really good guy. Well, he could have stopped them from going out there and hassling him. He was the head of the church, but he didn't stop them. He liked the fact that they were doing that. And he said, men and brethren, hearken unto me. You know, and he's in verse 14, he's talking about Simon and so forth, blah, 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 blah. In verse 19, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write them that they abstain from pollution of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. Now, he didn't admit that they're saved by grace. He never admits that. And he realized he had overreached. He was he was basically somebody what really was not, shouldn't have been head of the church. He got put there by the legalists, and he overreached, and so he backed it off and said, okay, we're not going to say they have to be circumcised, but we're going to say they have to abstain from pollutions of idols. That's part of the Old Testament law. They have to abstain from fornication. So they picked out four things from the Old Testament law, and they said we have to. So we're still okay. We put too much legalism on. We're going to put a little less. Well, it says in the Word in Galatians, I think it's Galatians, a little leaven at the whole lump.
Leaven.
If you, and it also says in Galatians, if you're going to do part of the law, you're bound to do the whole thing. If you're going to, okay, we're not going to make you do 10 things. We're only going to make you do 4 things. If you're going to do 4 things from the law, you're bound to do the whole ball of wax. If you're going to do 1 thing from the law and think that it's making you better in God's sight, then you got to do the whole ball of wax. So this also goes with the teaching that I've done. I've written in audio of legalism versus grace. And I document stuff if anybody wants to look that up on my internet page. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. And thank you that we can be saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Father, just help us. We don't want to condemn our brothers and sisters that are caught up in false doctrine, but help us help them that they can be turned around and that they can see the light. And we can show people how Jesus Christ came, that we could have full access to the Father, direct access, 24/7, 365. Literally, Father, every second the rest of our life, we have direct access to you. And help us show people that they don't need to have other things in between them and you, their Almighty Father God. And help us show people this, and deliver those that are trying to lead people to the bondage of the Old Testament law. Deliver them, open their eyes, or like I said earlier, give them the red pill that they can wake up and see what the matrix is, the matrix of the devil's kingdom, and that they can see the simplicity of the truth of your word. And also, Father, thank you for blessing the food that we're going to have for our new meal here. And I thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ.